Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, a maskil. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle and hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near as to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Amen. So Psalm 32 is the word Psalm of David, the word maskil, probably best translated as instruction or some type of teaching. And you'll get in verse 8 where he says very clearly, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that which you should go. This is considered the first of 12 such psalms of certain instruction. Most scholars believe that Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 go together. And so they are basically companions of one another. And obviously Psalm 51 deals with the great sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. And so there could be some connection there. This psalm, quite famous, actually, throughout church history. The great church father, Augustine, actually had Psalm 32 inscribed on his wall in his room as he was in his last days. And he would meditate on this psalm continually as he was about to go and meet the Lord. And so there's quite a richness throughout this time. So obviously it's a Psalm of David. It's a song. So it's meant to be sung, but it's meant to have a lot of pauses. So you'll notice there's three the Selahs, which just meant pause, stop, meditate, talk with God, kind of idea. And we see how this is kind of laid out here. So let's just go through the psalm. It's actually quite powerful. This is the instruction of David. And the issue is forgiveness, sin and forgiveness. So he starts off, how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. So notice he breaks down sin and forgiveness and those things in three different ways. So notice it says, transgression, forgiven. Blessed is a man whom the Lord does not, blessed is whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and how blessed is man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So we see transgression, and the easiest to understand transgression is crossing a line. There's a line that God put there, and you cross a line, or you defied authority, and particularly authority meaning God's authority in this way. And then sin, we know the best definition that we find is missing the mark. And so sin may not necessarily be like an evil thing that you did, but anything by which you miss the mark. And then iniquity speaks of a crookedness or some kind of distortion or something in that way. And then after that, there's forgiveness. So transgression is forgiven. Forgiveness in the sense of lifting a burden off of us. It's covered. In our lives, this is speaking of what Jesus Christ will do for us, the sacrificial blood covering that makes us clean, and then the imputed. He will not impute, meaning he will not keep record. There's no bookkeeping. He will not hold this against the person. And so your transgression, is forgiven, the burden is lifted, the sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb, and your iniquity he will not impute. He will not keep a record of our wrongs. And so now you know, oh yeah, that's a blessed man. If you think about that, you know, no person is perfect. And so, you know, but we have this graciousness of God that you guys remember all that went to GIC, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And he says here, and then he continues on, but this is what happens. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. And you could see the spiritual dimensions having an effect on our physical bodies. And I may have told this story before, but my old pastor went to Russia for the first time. And when he went to Russia, you know, the people were coming out. He was preaching. People were coming up to receive prayer. And one very young woman, beautiful, beautiful Russian woman, came up, and she asked for prayer for her hands. Because, I mean, she was young, probably like in her late 20s or so, but she had arthritis in her hands. Like, her hands were kind of mangled up like this, and she came up. And then he was like, you're such a young person. There's no reason for you to have arthritis. And so, but she asked to pray for this arthritis. And so my pastor laid hands on her, and as soon as he, like, just touched her shoulder, he got a prophetic word, a word of knowledge. And it was just real simple. He just said, unforgiveness. And so kind of turned to the lady and something, I think there's two words, is unforgiveness and mother or something like that. And so turned to the lady and said, you know, with a translator, if you don't mind, I felt like God speak to me. Is there something going on with your mother? You know, and is there something, you know, some forgiveness issue or something that needs to take place? And then she just started bawling. She's just like, bah! She just lost it on the spot, and then she's losing it. And then my old pastor was able to lead her in a prayer to forgive her mom. And he said, before his eyes, her hand just came back to normal. You know, and you could see that. Yeah, there are a lot of connections between the physical and the spiritual. You know, I mean, we know that if you, like, are worried a lot about stuff and your mind and there's a lot of things going on at work or these things, you start feeling in your body, your neck, your shoulders, you know, the tension, the stress, you know, all these things that come about. And so this is basically what David is saying. He says, when I'm kept silent about my sin, in other words, when I didn't talk to God about it and I just kept it, he says, my body wasted away, literally the bones wasted away. In this place, and through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And so it's important now, here's a moment, the Selah, the moment to stop. And what David intended for that to happen is for us to think about, okay, is there any sin that I'm hiding? Is there anything that I'm keeping away from God? Is there anything that I need to confess to the Lord? And it says his hand, and you know, the presence of his hand was so heavy on him. Notice, okay, just keep just a check on that, okay? His hand was heavy on him, and we could see it's like the weight, and it's not a very good feeling, you know what I mean? Now notice later after he confesses. We'll get that in a moment. Okay, right, so verse 5. So he says, okay, I felt all this, so this is what it is. I acknowledged my sin to thee. My iniquity I did not hide, and I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. And so he, the same way in verse 1 and 2, he acknowledged his sin, right? He did not hide his iniquity, and he confessed his transgressions to the Lord. And what did the Lord do in return? He forgave him. He forgave him of his guilt. By his graciousness, he let him off the hook, basically. He remembers no more. He lifted a burden. He covered him, and he doesn't keep record of wrongdoing. And so there's a, now another moment, this Selah, just to stop and thank the Lord. Wow, Lord, you've forgiven me. You've forgiven me. And then it leads into verse 6. Now notice here. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. Now you see what the presence of God does when we're cleansed. Before, remember, his hand was heavy on me, and now his hand or his presence is his hiding place. It's the place of comfort. It's the place of refuge. He says, Lord, now you surround me with songs of deliverance. You surround me with your presence. I can feel you around me. Before, all David could feel when David was in the wrong, all he could feel is the heaviness of God. Now, David feels the lightness of God. And it's a refuge. It's a, I really love this. It's a hiding place. It's a place where David can run to and find refuge in him. And so that's another moment to stop, you know, the Selah, and just say, oh, yeah, Lord, your presence is so good. Right? Your presence is really all I need. And just, I mean, just think about the heavy, going from heaviness to lightness. What did it take? Confession of sin. Isn't that awesome? Confession of sin. How powerful it is for us to confess our sins before the Lord. And then verse 8 catches, and I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy all who are upright in heart. And so this is, he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to counsel you. My eye is going to be upon you. You know, don't be stubborn, right? Don't be like a mule or a horse. You know, don't walk in that way. But instead, trust in the Lord, the end of verse 10. Right? He who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. And so it's his presence again. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. And this is the joy that the people of God get to walk in. I'll go back to the beginning there. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So let's close our eyes. You know, in these moments of meditation and instruction and in the way that God has kind of been looking at us. Let's pray another one of David's powerful prayers of Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And I just want to invite you to go before the Lord and see if there's anything in our hearts or anything in our lives that perhaps God may want to address. Not in the place of condemnation. Remember Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But freedom that he offers us, forgiveness, cleansing, covering. And he wants to do that in our lives. The enemy wants to condemn. The Holy Spirit convicts. The enemy wants us to take us away from God. By condemning us, the Holy Spirit convicts us to draw us closer to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, as James tells us. And so as Matthew leads us in a song of worship, I just want to invite us to Just enter that pause, that Selah, and just see, Lord, if there's anything inside me. And let's confess our sins to the Lord. Let's pray. Let's thank God for His faithfulness. Let's thank God for His goodness, His forgiveness, for the cross that pays the price for our sins, the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb. And if we do have things in our heart, the Lord is convicting you. Let's confess our sins to the Lord right now. Let's lift up our transgressions and our iniquities before Him. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's lift up our city. Let's ask God to continue to rule over this land. Let's pray over our government that they would make righteous decisions. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's continue to cry out for revival. Let's pray for churches all over our city that the gospel be preached powerfully. Let's lift up our ministries that we support and pray for us. Sports services, Stand, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our staff before the Lord. Let's ask God's hand to be with us and that we will continue to work for the glory of God. Let's pray particularly for Pastor Mary, who's on sabbatical. Help her to get rest. And let's pray for Monica as she just gave birth to baby Zoe and Pastor Nate, who's on paternity leave right now. Let's pray that they really enjoy this time of welcoming this new baby into their home. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming, and our barista. I know that some of them are on hold right now, but let's pray that the teams would continue to be built up. Let's pray that our welcoming team would really just have the Spirit of God on them to welcome our guests and our members into the house of the Lord, and that would really create a friendly atmosphere. For our worship, sound, and AV teams, and let's pray that the Lord would really use our volunteers, our leaders, to really lead us into the presence of the Lord, that people really receive and touch God's heart as we worship Him. Let's lift up. Let's lift up the pregnant women in our house right now. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them, or Vivian, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Eileen, and Jade. Let's just pray for Holy Spirit to lead them, pray protection and covering over each of the babies and the families. So let's lift up. Together. Father, we thank you for Psalm 32. Lord, we thank you for the heaviness, God, that we feel, Lord, that when we're not in right relationship with you. And thank you, Lord, for the cross, God. Thank you for what Jesus Christ has done for us that makes forgiveness, God, restoration available to us. And when we confess our sins, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, God. And then we can hide ourselves in your shelter. Your presence, Lord, becomes light, God, becomes joy. And so help us, teach us, God, instruct us as David instructed, God, his people. God, we thank you. We love you. Watch over us today. Help us to glorify you in all that we say and do. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.